Good afternoon, and welcome to Citizens Audit Committee December 14th, 2021 meeting that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene at 1 p.m. Those in attendance through the public link are automatically in listen-only mode. Citizens Board and Committee meetings are recorded with transcribed minutes available at our website. Thank you for identifying yourself prior to addressing the committee. I will proceed with roll call to establish quorum. Chairman Knight?
Present.
Governor Brough?
Present.
Governor Thomas?
Present.
Chair Knight, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call the third quarter audit committee meeting to order with the first item on the agenda, approval of the September minutes.
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Motion passes. And I'd like to call Mr. Martins from the auditor's office to provide his report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Governors. For the record, I'm Joe Martins, the Chief of Internal Audit. I would like to refer you to page one of the executive summary, where I provide an overview of audit progress and noted that 54% of the projects scheduled for the period have been completed. Since the previous meeting, we finalized 7 engagements and a highlight. We monitored the process followed with the procurement of the claims litigation management system and provided advisory support where requested. We completed an audit of clearinghouse processes. Results indicated that although the processes implemented are not very efficient, control functions implemented are effective and are working adequately. An audit of the compliance program confirmed several sound business practices in place and highlighted some opportunities where processes could be enhanced and strengthened. Specifically, the audit also noted that the governance and oversight component of the compliance program needs to have clear assigned roles with their accountability and authority within the organization. Our audit of the financial services payables process confirmed that there are effective business processes and controls in place. Two minor observations were shared with management and process enhancements are underway. The logging monitoring audit confirmed logging has been implemented in most systems and various types of monitoring are performed for operational and security purposes. An opportunity was noted to elevate the maturity level of logging and monitoring governance practices. Two advisory engagements were also completed. These related to the EY implementation project and a review of the underwriting staffing analysis process. Next slide, please. We currently have 5 engagements in progress, including audits of my agency, which follows the successful implementation of the agency management system and will evaluate the adequacy and effectiveness of processes and controls deployed. Rate override technology, Policy Center now enables authorized underwriters to correct system-generated premium for new business and renewal policies. Premium changes are necessary under certain circumstances, such as rate capping adjustments to maintain citizens' glide path. Since the process has changed significantly, Internal Audit will validate the implemented control structure and ensure the controls are working as intended. We also have 1 advisory and 2 project support engagements in progress. An additional 4 audits are planned. These include audits of the application infrastructure standards and conformance, employee benefits, managed repair program, and the underwriting quality assurance process. Next slide, please. For control deficiencies, Internal Audit is tracking 5 observations, of which 2 are of high impact. All open items are being worked on, and progress is assessed monthly. The high-impact item added in the last quarter refers to governance and oversight of the compliance program within Citizens. Management agreed with the result of the ethics and compliance, and the ethics and compliance officer will work with relevant stakeholders to collaborate, create an overarching compliance governance plan that incorporates the audit suggestions. Next slide, please. The international standards for the professional practice of internal auditing require that the internal audit activity complete a quality assurance review at least once every 5 years to verify conformance to the standards. The last QAR was completed in 2014. Clifton Lawson Allen specializes in QARs and completed the review for us. Results from the review were very positive, with CLA concluding that the OIA activity is in general conformance with the standards, which is the top rating that can be achieved in a QAR. CLA noted some strength as well as areas of improvement. The improvement opportunities noted refer to completion of a formal internal assessment of conformance to the standards. The Office of Internal Audit will develop and complete our first assessment during Q4 2022. Adherence to the 5-year requirement for an external quality assessment. Completion of this QAR review brings internal audit in conformance. Annually confirm and document whether any conflicts of interest exist between internal audit staff and the company. Following the QAR, we created the formal document and will ensure that staff complete the attestation during Q1 every year. And finally, we should consider opportunities to educate the audit committee on their role and responsibilities to citizens. We recently filled a vacant IT audit director role. The successful candidate, Ajay Kumar, will officially join Intel Audit at the beginning of January 2022. Ajay is currently employed in Citizens IT division as the Manager Systems Application Development Business Intelligence. We also have two vacancies, one for a business audit manager and the second for an IT audit manager, and are actively recruiting to fill those roles. Next slide, please. The internal control team is responsible for maintaining and monitoring Citizens' internal control framework. We are monitoring 119 primary controls, of which 106 are currently being assessed with the business units through the control self-assessment process. One process refresh is currently underway and 12 are being planned. 60 individuals within the business units that are responsible for performing and reviewing control effectiveness have been trained on the use of our audit board GRC system. The business areas are utilizing self-service capabilities to complete and document the control self-assessment within the system. Next slide, please. The enterprise risk team facilitates, enables, and partners with the business units to deliver forward-looking and insightful risk perspectives that support decision-making. The 2022 annual strategic risk assessment with the executive leadership team is scheduled for Q1. The objective is to identify risks that may adversely impact citizens' ability to achieve strategic objectives and key strategic initiatives within the next 12 to 18 months. 316 operational risks have been assessed across the organization, and there are no operational risks with a high risk residual impact. We are currently monitoring 19 strategic risks, 316 operational risks, and upon request we facilitate cross-functional project and scenario risk assessment designed to enable risk-based decision-making at the proactive mitigation of risks. Behind tab 2, I refer you to the first sub-tab where we have an action item titled 2022 OIA Strategy Plan and Budget. The action item seeks committee approval for the 2022 Office of Internal Audit Strategy Plan and Budget. The plan was developed using a risk-based approach to understand and assess citizens' operations and associated risks, and the objective of the plan is to provide the most timely and comprehensive scope of audit, risk, and control coverage by using resources available to the Office of Internal Audit. The Internal Audit team follows a detailed annual planning process and prepares a themes-based audit plan which considers the possibility of dynamic risk fluctuations and process changes throughout the year. This necessitates regular re-evaluation of the audit process and scope so that appropriate audit focus is always given to important strategic and operational issues and risks. Throughout the year, the audit plan continues to evolve to support our dynamic risk environment, focusing on current and emerging reputational compliance, operational information technology, and financial risks. To achieve the greatest impact, internal audit rebalances audit activities in a rolling audit plan to ensure adequate focus is given to citizens' strategic issues and critical processes. Internal audit documented 7 specific audit themes which consolidates and provide high-level insights into the year's audit focus areas. As the year progresses, internal audit will use its quarterly rolling risk assessment process to identify engagements to be selected for every reporting period. The enterprise risk team will continue to facilitate and enable risk assessments from 5 different perspectives. namely strategic risk, operational risk, fraud risk, project risk, and scenario risk. The internal controls team will continue to ensure consistency and sustainability of internal control framework throughout the organization while expanding consultative services to include advice on anti-fraud controls. Next slide, please. The 2022 Office of Internal Audit budget presented is $3.42 million as compared to $3.33 million budgeted for 2021. I highlight that staffing will remain static next year. Salaries and benefits and continued staffing will remain static as we will fill internal audit vacancies during the first half of the year. Training is based on the dollar allocation per staff member to upkeep professional CPD requirements and development professionally. Legal services is traditionally a placeholder should the department need to use external legal services. Professional services reflects anticipated consulting services and the use of a firm in support of the execution of audits while we are replacing and training newly recruited staff following the retirement of both IT auditors. Software management licensing mainly reflects license fees for our GRC system. Madam Chair, if there are no questions, I would like to read the recommendation.
Are there any questions on the strategic plan and budget?
Staff recommends that the Citizens Audit Committee approve the 2021 Office of Internal Audit Strategy and Plan and approve the 2021 Office of Internal Audit as presented.
Move to approve.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That concludes my report. Okay.
Thank you. Ms. Montero? Welcome.
Hello. Behind tab 3 of the audit book, you will find the third quarter financial statements along with the commentary. And I'll be providing a summary of the information contained within the commentary document. As of September 30th, 2021, Citizens held consolidated cash and invested assets of $9.3 billion, reflecting an increase of approximately $590 million from December 31st, 2020. This increase was driven by an increase in cash flows from operations, largely as a result of an increase in the written premium. Consolidated surplus at September 30th was $6.5 billion, marking an approximate increase of $93.4 million from December 31st. Consolidated direct written premium through the third quarter of 2021 was $1.4 billion, an increase of $471.8 million from the same period a year prior and $309 million greater than budget. Although new business rates in 2021 continued to trend below new business rates in 2020, an increase in new policies written, largely within Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties, contributed most significantly to the overall increase in written premium. Premium ceded through reinsurance, including premium ceded to the Florida Hurricane Catastrophe Fund of $445.6 million, were $217.8 million more than premium ceded in 2020. The increase in exposure, driven mainly by an increase in policy count, was the main driver of the year-over-year increase. As of September 30th, consolidated ultimate direct losses in LAE related to Hurricanes Irma and Michael were $2.27 billion and $150 million, respectively, reflecting no change from December 31st, 2020. Of the $2.27 billion of Hurricane Irma loss in LAE across all accounts, $936 million is recoverable under Citizens reinsurance contracts with both the CAT Fund and private reinsurers. There are no reinsurance recoverables related to Hurricane Michael, as the attachment levels of the reinsurance arrangements were not met. Consolidated ultimate direct losses in LAE of smaller storms that impacted Florida in the latter part of 2020 increased $5 million from June 30th to $158 million. This increase, all of which was LAE, was the result of an increase in litigated claims, whereby approximately 20% of all personal line claims from Tropical Storm Eta have entered litigation. No ceded recoverables were recorded due to the losses in LAE not meeting the attachment levels of the reinsurance agreements. Current accident year losses for LAE unrelated to hurricanes and sinkhole did not experience meaningful variance from the prior quarter, as development of prior accident year losses in LAE was as expected. Although litigated non-weather water claims continue to be a dominant driver of the loss in LAE activity within the personal lines account, the litigation rate for accident years 2018 through 20 continued to show improvement in comparison to accident years 2014 through 2017, with accident year 2021 showing the lowest percentage of litigation rates in recent history. Through the third quarter of the combined loss and LAE ratio for the personal lines account was below budget due to this continued improvement in litigation rates for water claims and the reductions in the severity of the claims. Similar to the personal lines account, the combined loss and loss adjustment expense ratio for the coastal account approximated the budget due to favorable litigation trends on water claims. Within the commercial lines account, losses in LAE related to sinkhole claims were relatively unchanged. However, volatility and the older non-sinkhole claims have the potential to contribute to material quarterly variances in the reported loss and LAE ratios in future periods. Administrative expenses incurred through the third quarter of 2021 were $99.2 million or $5.5 million more than the same period in 2020 and $8.2 million less than budgeted. For the nine-month period ended September 30th, Citizens' expense ratio was 16.9%, which reflects a 3.5% decrease from the same period in 2020 and a 3.2% decrease compared to budget. Total investment income through the third quarter of 2021 was $209.5 million, which is $3.4 million more than the same period in 2020, while average invested assets increased $317.4 million. The decrease in earned income of $16.1 million was principally driven by significant reductions in interest rates during 2020, as well as reductions in tax-exempt holdings resulting from the scheduled maturities of certain outstanding bond obligations. However, this decrease was more than offset by an increase of $19.5 million in realized gains, a significant amount of which was taken in July of 2021. Total assets and surplus remain well positioned to meet any potential claims payment obligations that may arise due to hurricanes and continued growth in Citizens' policy count. And if there are no questions, that concludes my report on the third quarter financials.
I have a question regarding a tropical storm, Etta. What do you think was driving the increased litigation for that? Do you?
The increased litigation in Etta?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it went through the Miami-Dade area,
mm-hmm.
and that's usually where the litigation starts. But I can look that up and get back to you on that one.
That's probably a good part of the answer. Any other questions?
I'll get that for you.
Thank you. Brian Smith here. External auditor update. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you.
For the record, Brian Smith with Dixon Hughes Goodman. I serve as the audit partner for Citizens for the 2021 audit. Joining me is Sam Wishart. He is our audit manager serving the account as well.
Hi, Maureen.
Okay. We are here today to present our audit plan for the 2021 financial statement audit of Citizens. We do have a required communication to the audit committee. Certainly ask any questions as we go through this. This is for our current procedures going for the year-end audit. Our scope for the 2021 audit is to audit Citizens on both a statutory basis and government accounting standard GAAP basis. We have started our interim field work. We have also completed our planning procedures. We'll present some of those risks we've identified today to the committee. We intend to go back into the field in April of 2022 with the intention of completing our audit in middle of May, targeting the May 15th date of 2022. Going to the second page of our report, we start our audit looking at planning procedures related to internal controls, We look to identify the design and implementation of proper controls. However, we do not issue an opinion on those as we have not been engaged to. Next, our procedures will go through and test certain material accounts based on risk and processes. And once we're completed, we will communicate to the committee our interim procedures again for any findings in the spring audit committee meeting, along with our findings when we're completed in the summer meeting. Some of the identified significant risks we've identified in our planning. First is investments related to the valuation of investments, looking for any impairments. We will engage a valuation specialist to assist us in those procedures. Next is any valuation of reserves related to the IBNR or incurred but not reported loss reserves. The company generates those through assumptions and key estimates with an actuarial review. We will engage a third-party actuary to assist us with those procedures. Next is the premiums and collection of premium accounts. We look for any risk related to cancellations or uncollectible premiums, specifically around cutoff at the end of the year. And lastly, looking at reinsurance risk related to key assumptions in a reinsurance account, whether that's material profit sharing or certain structures around cat bonds. And lastly, there's a risk associated with any company related to the management override controls. We will do fraud inquiries and evaluate certain risk around management override. Our engagement team does include certain specialists and subject matter experts. Our IT team consists of Ryan Boggs. He is out of North Carolina and has assisted us on this account for several years and very familiar with the IT function of Citizens. We will engage our own internal valuation team for the investment portfolio. We will engage Merlinos and Associates as a third-party actuary to review the assumptions and estimates that management has put in for the loss reserves. And then lastly, any key reports coming out of the internal audit office that we can leverage or utilize in our planning function, we'll look to do so. So that completes our report. Again, I'm the audit engagement partner. Sam is our manager. And then we have Leslie McLeod continuing as our concurring partner and Ryan Boggs as our IT director.
Madam Chair, if I may. Yes. Thank you. How much of what you do for us is statutorily required by the state of Florida?
Correct. So we are required to issue an audit opinion on the statutory basis financial statements, which those go to the OIR. And then also our audit for the government accounting standards is utilized by the state of Florida for their financial statements.
So what is your total cost to Citizens for what you do for us?
Roughly $300,000. There's a varying change every year based on the contract, but I can provide that to you as needed.
I think that's money well spent, quite frankly, with the amount of money we go through. Thank you. I don't have any further questions.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
For reference, behind tab 5, we have the Office of Inspector General quarterly report for the third quarter. For informational purposes, Ms. Montero.
Jay Adams, Chief Claims Officer, has informed me that the majority of the litigation in the PLA account related to Tropical Storm Ada is due to roof declines. They're suing when we deny their roof claim. And then AOB is also part of that, but the majority of them are the decline, the roofs that we decline.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any new business?
None for me.
Okay.
Not for me.
All right. Well, this concludes our third quarter audit committee meeting, and we'll stand adjourned.